Hour number two of the Blitz kicks off now. If you would like to join the program, you can jump on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. You know the number, 865-546-8200. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. If you missed anything, go back on our podcast. And last but not least, you can check us out on Periscope on our Twitter account at Fox Sports Knox. Rick, Brandon, Chance, Matt, all hanging out with you for the next hour. Guys, did you know there is another Ricky B who also has a birthday today?
Who's that?
Me and Rick Barnes.
Rich.
Me and Rich Barnes, we had the same birthday.
Rick Barnes and Rick Butler with the same birthday. Like it.
I feel like that's some kind of destiny. I feel like we should have tried to get him on the show today, and I could have used the, hey, it's your birthday, it's my birthday, why don't we do the thing?
He probably has a big birthday bash planned, Rick.
Probably something light. He probably went to Pete's this morning, had some coffee.
Pizza this morning?
Pete's.
Oh. I was like, pizza, eh? I mean, I'm not one to pass up a good frozen pizza in the fridge, right? In the morning, it's not horrible.
Nah, he probably went to Pete's.
He's 65.
I mean, I'm close to that now.
Hanging out with the grandkids later.
As the great Blink-182 said, nobody likes you when you're 23.
Did they say that?
They have a song.
Was that a song?
They have a song said that.
I don't remember that one. That wasn't one of their hits.
It probably wasn't. The song is called, I had pulled it up earlier. I don't know what it's called.
I thought you were going to go.
Oh, it's called What's My Age Again.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought you were going to go with What's My Age Again.
Yeah.
That seems like a hit. That was just a line in it.
Yeah, that was a line in it. It said, nobody likes you when you're 23.
Yeah, okay. So What's My Age Again? Good Blink-182 song.
So Blink, I guess I have that to look
pretty
forward to.
Pretty good band for their time.
The best Blink-182 songs.
That one.
Oh, All the Small Things. Yeah, that's probably their most hit one. It's from 1999.
Blink-182.
Yeah, it's before you guys' time. It was when I was in high school. Yeah, sorry, you're probably not gonna like it, Brandon.
But I remember
you were just like Blink-182.
I remember listening to like Blink-182 in middle school when you were like trying to find all this new music, but it wasn't even new, and I never even knew that it was from
the
90s and very early 2000s.
Brandon, you're old rock guy. I know you're like a classic rock guy, like the Eagles and Rolling Stones, all that, right?
Yeah,
that's your bands.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of that, if there is one thing that's gonna happen.
And Allison Chains, right? What's it?
No.
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper.
I don't even like Alice Cooper like that.
You're getting the tickets,
Brandon's
though.
Brandon's got the tickets on the way. They're coming. StubHub. No, they're coming. No. In the mail.
No, they're not.
If there's one thing that I've learned before we get into SEC Media Days, we will get back into that in just a second. If there's one thing that I will learn while living with Brandon and Cody, it will be classic rock music.
That's all you're
going to... It is always playing.
It's always playing, right?
And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I feel like I've made some surprises. I've sang along to a couple songs nobody probably expected me to know. But I guarantee you that before we all leave that apartment, whenever it may be, my classic rock knowledge will be skyrocketed.
It'll have to be, or it'll be the death of you. I bet. Does Cody listen to nonstop Rolling Stones? Like nonstop. I know he loves the Stones.
It's a lot of Rolling Stones.
It's a lot of Rolling Stones. Huh?
But I'll tell you what I've noticed so far is that Brandon is typically the DJ.
I mean, it's only been like
one or two times. Yeah. So, but still. Okay. SEC Media Days, getting back into this. Real quick, here is some audio from Paul Feinbaum and kind of what he thinks about the hiring of Jeremy Pruitt and what it means for the team. So here it is. Paul Feinbaum talking about Jeremy Pruitt.
8 wins, which would be phenomenal.
Let me start it over.
But I think they could get 8 wins, which would be phenomenal. But I think his quiet confidence, and I do think Philip Fulmer being there has helped as well. I think Philip Fulmer saved this program with the hiring of Jeremy Pruitt. And I think having Philip there to lean on and learning from him a little bit,
listen, we talk so much about the time with Saban, but I think he's learned a lot from Fulmer as well, especially in relation to what is important at Tennessee. And I haven't seen a coach since Fulmer who understood what Tennessee football is about.
That's a lot.
Couple of things jump off the page in a big way. First off, I think he hits the nail on the head with the relationship with Fulmer. Right? And that's one of the big things that you get about getting a guy like Philip Fulmer in the driver's seat of the whole athletic program. It's not a guy there whose main priority is to make money. His main priority is not to sell a bunch of tickets, make everything as nice and pretty and shiny as can be. This is a guy who deeply cares about winning football. And heck, he's done it before here. And so I think that, you know, that probably is an underplayed storyline that, you know, I don't know if it's been talked about enough, but for Jeremy Pruitt, yes, to have the experience of working with a lot of great coaches in the past during his times at various schools. But also, I think just the significance of having Philip Fulmer here in the ability to go to him and to ask questions and to really learn what Tennessee football is and what it means when you get down to the very core of things here on campus, I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody feels a little bit more comfortability because of Philip Fulmer, and I think that's why Jeremy Pruitt gets, you know, I guess so many people aren't, you know, ready to push the button or ready to sound the alarm because Fulmer, this is Fulmer's guy, so he gets a little bit of a pass for that. But, I mean, at the same time, that should make people feel comfortable. You got somebody who cares about the university, somebody who's won here, somebody who's won a national championship here. So, yeah, it is specifically going to help him out. Philip Fulmer cares about football above anything else on that campus. So he's going to help out Jeremy Pruitt to restore his baby.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that the last bit that he said there, talking about Pruitt being the guy that has kind of understood what Tennessee football is about more than anybody since Fulmer has been coach. And I would tend to agree with that. Dooley, I don't think ever really got it. I think everybody kind of thought Dooley did just because he was a Southern guy. His dad was coach at Georgia. Butch Jones tried to sell us that he was, but I don't think he ever really did. And Pruitt, I mean, I don't know yet, but I think, like Feinbaum was talking about, I think Fulmer being there and kind of showing him, hey, this is important. This is important. And kind of laying it out. None of those other guys had that. So I think that helps Pruitt a lot. And he knows the right things to do, the right things to say. So I think that helps Pruitt out a lot.
What do you guys think about Feinbaum's comment when he says that he really thinks that Fulmer saved the program with the hiring of Jeremy Pruitt? You agree, you disagree, you fall somewhere in between?
That Fulmer saved the program? You can't say that yet.
Well, yeah, with the hiring of Pruitt.
Well, I'm saying, like, you can't say that yet. Like, it's still too early to tell.
To be determined.
Yeah, like, I don't think you can say it. Like, maybe you feel you have a little more faith because he hired a guy like Jeremy Pruitt. But, like, until he wins, until you're competing for SEC East titles, until you're competing for an SEC championship, until you're competing to, like, some of the best players in the country, and you're year in, year out, being top five, top ten recruiting classes, no, you can't say that yet. Like, that's just giving him that credence because of Philip Fulmer, and because he might – what if he goes out this year and they don't make a bowl game, or they just go 6-6? How disappointing is that? Even with a bowl game, that'd be slightly disappointing. You'd think they'd be a little bit better than the 6-6.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I mean, you got players like Daryl Taylor coming out saying, making a bowl game this year, that ain't nothing. Like, I love the confidence, and I do think they will make a bowl game this year. But until he wins, until you win games that mean something, we harp on Rick Barnes, y'all call him Rich, about he hasn't done anything in the postseason. He hasn't. But if you're just winning 8 games every year, you're just Butch Jones. And until he wins 9-10 games consistently and you're actually in a position to go to Atlanta or in a position to compete year in, year out for SEC titles or SEC East titles at least, You can't say that. You still got to do something, right? Like, are you guys just going to be happy with 7 wins every year, 8 wins every year? No, it's gonna you're going to need more. You're going to need 9-win season, 10-win season to really say this thing worked.
Yeah, I think that you make a lot of valid points there. Absolutely. And I think there's even another way that you kind of can look at it if you do, you know, we are being sheepy today, so I might as well continue the trend. I think that you can also look at it in the way of just what happened in the past. Right? I think, Chance, you hit the nail on the head in the future, but if you kind of just look at what happened in the past, right? Sure, there could have been other coaches that have could have, quote, saved the program. I'm sure Mike Leach would have done a pretty good job.
If Butch Jones beats Vandy and Tennessee goes to the Sugar Bowl that year, it almost looks as Butch Jones has turned Tennessee around. People would have said Tennessee was back. I mean, if he doesn't blow it at the end of the year, I think Tennessee, people have been really excited.
Yeah, but I still think you have that letdown in 2017. It may not have been a big of a decline from 16. Coming off a Sugar Bowl.
But, but the way things go from year to year, you go to the Sugar Bowl and you win a Sugar Bowl. Who knows how much of a letdown is the next season? How much are players going into that season because of the way the previous season ended? If it ends the way we want it to, you go to Sugar Bowl, you win. What about the level of excitement and intensity of the next season? It might have been better. Players might buy in more to Butch's stuff, but they were done with him kind of after that year.
Yeah, but you still lose Dobbs.
You do.
You still kind of have that whole.
You lose Kamara, and you lose all the guys that you lost. Barnett,
well, I think
all those
that
guys.
People wouldn't have been so ready to get rid of him had they came off of a Sugar Bowl or SEC championship game appearance or victory.
Yeah, so I'm saying
Bowl.
Like forget the Sugar Bowl. Like they blew it the last two games of the year. Could have made an SEC championship appearance.
I think that for Butch, the dominoes were always set up, right? We talk about the domino effect in a lot of aspects of sports. I think the dominoes were already set up, and for him, once one domino was going to fall, I think a lot of things were going to fall after it. And so, to me, it kind of just felt like, well, if that wasn't the domino, if the Sugar Bowl wasn't the one to push them over, then there likely would have been another occurrence that would have toppled that first one over. And I really think that for him, he led a lot of the way that he did things led for a big chain reaction. And I think it was just kind of depending on when that chain reaction was. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Nextdoor Home Group hotline and take a call from Phil. Phil, how are you doing today?
Like I say, Rick.
Not much, man.
How are you and Chance and Brandon, though?
Hey, we're all doing great today.
Yeah. Did you say that Tom Bomb said that Fulmer saved the program by hiring Jeremy Pruitt. I don't know that for another year or two.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Chance laid that out very well. In a very short version, I think that if you do want to kind of look at that in just the way of the past, out of everything that happened with that insane coaching search, we could have ended up much, much worse. I really do believe that.
Yeah, but we could have ended up better, too.
Yeah, we absolutely could have. There's no doubt about it. And so could a lot of guys had come in and, quote, saved this program? I'm sure they could have. And would Jeremy Pruitt do it as good as someone else might have? That is to be determined.
Yeah,
and some of that we'll never see.
Honestly, if they really cared about Tennessee football, they would have fired Butch Jones immediately after the Vanderbilt game in the year you were talking about. We could have gone the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Hart was still in charge then, and I think you should have fired him after the Georgia game in 2017.
Yeah, that's when he should have likely been gone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You had Curry in charge then. If Fulmer's in charge during that time, does he pull the trigger then? I don't know.
Well, Fulmer wasn't anywhere near the radar screen then.
No,
he's malingering himself in as athletic director by, sabotaging Blackburn and Curry, and he's in there now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Phil. I think there are a lot of guys that the hire could have been better, but
they missed out on guys.
At the point where Fulmer came in, you had kind of shot and missed so many times that was kind of all that was left, and people were kind of getting anxious and. You really had nowhere else to go.
But if hindsight's 2020, if what's his name that was Oregon at UCLA now. If he'd gone to Florida, Dan Mullen would be our coach right now. And yeah. Curry still be our athletic director.
Yeah, if Chip Kelly goes, likely we get Dan Mullen, and that might not have been a bad thing. I mean, I think he's gonna do pretty well. I mean, he's a hell of a quarterback developer too. And we got Jim Chaney now, so that's huge. But I mean, I think Mullen's gonna do well in Florida. But you're right, Phil. I mean, they kind of you know drag the feet around. Not only getting rid of Butch Jones when the writing was on the wall, everybody in national media, everyone saw it. Like coaches around, they saw the writing was on the wall the way he was talked about, and then they dragged their feet with the athletic director and, you know, and everything else, you know, moving forward. So, yeah, you did miss out on some guys. Maybe they could have been better. But everything about Pruitt saving the program, that's got to be seen. Because even if he just wins 7 to 8 games next couple years, that's not going to be enough. Like, when enough is going to be when Tennessee's actually able to compete for something. 8 wins ain't going to do anything to move the needle. And people, he ain't going to be able to beat Georgia and Florida just winning 8 games every year.
But I do think that if he is something special, we'll see something this year. I'm not expecting a lot, but I won't see massive improvement out of a football team this year.
Yeah, you've got to see that next step and to kind of give you hope for the future. I agree with you, Phil.
Kind of like Rick Barnes from year 2 to year 3.
Yep.
And year 1 to year 2 in football. I mean, most of the real good coaches in SEC history have always had great second seasons in their tenure.
Yeah, and I mean, I mean, nobody's expecting him to win 9-10 games. I mean, if you do, I think you need to dial it back a little bit. But I'm with you, Phil. You got to show some level of significant improvement to kind of convince me that he's going to be the guy.
Did Rick say that Fulmer didn't care about money a little while ago?
No, I just said that, you know, I think that Fulmer, more than a lot of the, or I guess more than the two most recent athletic directors we had, is putting things like quality of the product ahead of things such as, you know, what is happening financially.
Hmm.
I could be wrong. I feel like, you know, I feel like you could probably make an argument on the other side, but that's kind of how I feel throughout the tenure of Fulmer so far.
Well, I mean, you know, so far, I mean, we didn't improve in all sports. What, they're 25th in America now, right?
Yeah, we jumped on whatever that rating basis was that we talked about last week.
But the bottom line is football wasn't on the radar screen until it's fixed, and, you know.
Right. And
we are where we are.
And the thing with that is I do think that Fulmer's putting on the field results ahead of things like the renovations to Neyland Stadium. I mean, you saw he put those on hold, and the renovations to Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I think Fulmer knows that if you win football games, the money will come.
Well, I do agree with that, but all honesty, I mean, they used to have 80,000 season tickets over there. Now they got 60,000. So even anybody that's got any common sense knows that they're starting to lose their fan base because they're not coming to these games. The college football's got a problem on their hands, guys. There are people not going to all these games.
Well, yeah, because the at-home experience is just getting to a point that is borderline incredible, right? A lot of people are sitting at home watching the games on their very nice TV that they've paid a lot of money for. They're able to eat what they want. They can drink what they want.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you've been to, for instance, like I just went to football games for 4 straight years as a student, right? This year, now that I won't have that luxury, like I have no problem sitting back on my TV or sitting back on my couch and watching
Cody
a game on TV.
Now.
I'm sorry?
Watching with Cody and Brandon now?
That's exactly right.
Well, I want to be the first one to issue an invitation to Chance, Brandon, and Rick. We can bring Cody, too, to the drunk tank and real
to the tank.
For a real college atmosphere.
For a real experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
See you guys.
All right,
sounds like we'll be taking him up on that offer.
The invitation has been extended.
The mayor of Sono extending an invitation.
He put the ball in our court, gentlemen.
To the tank.
We got to represent well.
All right.
Power move by Phil. Power move.
Speaking of, Rick, you mentioned it, being able to drink what you want. We've got an alcohol update. Alcohol in Neyland Stadium update came out yesterday. from the beer board. We will get to that on the other side. 865-546-8200 is our number if you want to get on the next door phone lines. We'll take a quick break. The Blitz continues after this.
Back here on the Blitz, 11:23 a.m. Brandon, you teased it off the top. What is happening with the alcohol in Neyland Stadium and Thompson Bowling Arena?
Yeah, so yesterday after we go off the air, Aramark, who is the vendor that serves the University of Tennessee, they met with the beer board of Knox County, and they voted to approve alcohol sales at Neyland Stadium. They approved the permit.
Okay.
At Neyland Stadium, Thompson Bowling Arena, and Regal Soccer Stadium. Quote, we wanted to hear what their measurements would be and who is going to be served and when and how it's going to happen, said Beer Board Chairman George Wallace. The board was concerned about the potential for patrons driving under the influence given the 25-ounce two-beer policy. Aramark went over UT's proposed rideshare program as well as a proposed designated driver incentive program that would allow drivers to get a free soda and be entered into a raffle for a prize of some sort. So basically, they've got the green light to sell. Now I think it's in the university's hands to decide.
Yeah, it's up to the university now to decide if they want to go ahead and implement those plans for this year. Aramark's done their duty, the beer board. They've done their due diligence by actually, you know, coming back with a decision pretty quick. They didn't draw this thing out. So my thinking would be that it's going to happen this year because that's what I would think.
Well, I think there still has to be some maybe state and local law things changed because I do believe that I mean, the University of Tennessee is still a dry campus.
Yeah.
So as far as football games, basketball games go, I think that still has to be changed. But, like, for concerts and stuff, I think it's good because right here at the very end of this article, it says Aramark said they are ready to begin sales at Thompson Bowling Arena on Saturday, August 3rd for the Alice Cooper Show.
The Alice Cooper concert.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, I think if they're trying to get implemented, I mean, because they're still selling it on campus at a university, you know, inside of TBA. So it, to me, I would think that they're going to try to get it done for football too, is just what I would say.
Right. But I do think I heard Nathan Houston talking about it earlier this morning. I think when they have concerts, I think the city of Knoxville actually rents out Thompson Bowling. So it's, I don't know. I still think there are a few hurdles that it has to go, just a few more that it has to go through before there is, before it's officially a go.
Here's what I wonder is, I wonder if Tennessee might actually take a wait-and-see approach to this. Right? Like, we've seen a lot of these teams kind of pass on.
Have you seen ticket sales? Why? I mean, they might do that. And that's cool. But, like, I don't understand. Like, with the way ticket sales, like, you're going to need some extra money in there. Like, ticket sales are already atrocious right now. I mean, Phil just talked about it. And that's not just here in Knoxville. That's across all of college football. Like, nobody's going out to games as much as they used to. You can go to the local sports bar where you can get, you know, 50-inch TVs up there, 4K. Or you can sit at home and you can drink your beer and you don't have to wait in the line. You don't have to sit out in the hot sun. You can watch it HD and you can stop and you can pause it and do all these things in the comfortability of your own home and not getting out, paying for parking, doing all the things you have to do. So, like, I think they should. You're right. They might do a wait-and-see approach. Maybe you and Brandon are both right, and they're going to wait, and there's going to be some hurdles. But by God, they're not making a lot of money as much as they could right now because of the state of the program and just the state of college football.
Yeah.
As far as, like, people going to games. Like, people still watching college football. Let's not get that wrong. But there are across – there's a decline in people actually attending games.
And I said it during Phil's call. If you want to fix it, start winning games. Win games, people will show up. Win games, money won't be an issue.
I think people around here want a reason to go back to the games, right? Like, we've heard it from even, great callers of this radio station. People want to go to games, but they're looking at the tickets that they could be purchasing and saying, like, what am I going to see? Like, I remember the Florida game last year, right? The Florida game last year had an unbelievable amount of hype behind it. We were all talking like, man, we're going to have a chance in this game. And you know what? By God, we might actually win. And people were excited. And I remember being at that game, and the excitement in the stadium was through the roof. And then we got our eyes pounded closed. We took a tombstone right on the 50-yard line. And it was just, it was sad. And so I think people are looking at these situations now and thinking, you know, I don't want to go and watch this team just get beat and beat.
Well, another problem is they just announced that single game tickets are now for sale. That was yesterday.
Okay.
So for the home opener against Georgia State, tickets start at $40. Chattanooga and UAB start at $30. Tickets for Vanderbilt, BYU, Mississippi State, and South Carolina start at $50. Tickets for Georgia at home, anybody want to take a guess?
$95.
Starting price?
$105. $50.
$110.
Yeah, I would assume. Yeah.
$110.
Yeah, that's where they're gonna try to make the money on, you know, the SEC games, the bigger games. Yeah, that $105.
I mean, that's part of the problem. You can't charge that much for the product that you've been putting on the field the past couple of years.
Absolutely. But dollars make sense, and it ain't going to go down. And you talk about when they win, it's only going up, brother. It ain't going down. It's only going up.
Oh, no, I know that, but when you win, at least you have a quality product.
Yeah, exactly. You can understand maybe paying $110 a ticket, but still, like, yeah. Prices ain't getting any cheaper. That's another thing. The prices of going to the game experience, is pricing people out. You can't go to a game if you got a family of four.
Yeah.
Jesus, you're talking about spending maybe $500 for one damn Saturday when you got kids and mom and dad want to go to the game. You're literally talking about maybe spending $300 to $500 just to get in the damn game.
Yeah.
That's before parking, before food, because let me tell you, kids eat. They eat all the time. That's before you might want to get yourself a couple beers, maybe a couple soft drinks, whatever. You might spend a $300, $500 weekend just to go to one game, and especially if it's a meaningful game like Brandon just said, like Georgia.
And you know what?
It's ridiculous.
I could watch that Georgia game.
At home.
For free. On my couch.
Yep.
I can order
a couple pizzas.
A pizza from one of our great sponsors, Jets.
Yep.
I can go and pick up a six-pack. Maybe even some chips and dip. If I'm really feeling crazy about the game that's ahead of us, I'm going to spend $30.
Exactly.
And I'm not trying to convince people not to go to the games. Like, I want to go to the games myself.
Me too.
I'm dying to go back to a game. I'm dying to be back in that stadium. But, man, I don't want to go to games like a Georgia game that I'm just like, well, we might be in it for a little while, and who knows? Maybe we're in it, you know, starting the second half.
And then you just spent your mortgage, or you spent your rent money for one weekend, like, as far as other people are concerned. Maybe not you, Rick, because it's just you. You're a single guy. You got any kids, anything like that. You're a young man. But, like, for most people, you're talking about putting up a mortgage payment or a rent payment for one weekend of football. That's the problem, too. You are correct.
And you know what? Like, man, if you're putting out 9-3 seasons, people are going to pay that. Because they want to see something special. They want to see a game on the road to an SEC championship. They want to see us absolutely pound Florida and send them home just in absolute dismay. People want to see that, and people will do that. But there's a difference between spending that kind of money on a Georgia game in 2019, right, compared to a game back in 2015 or 2016 when you did put up a good season. There's a difference. And it's sad that that's what it's come to, because, you know, like, we all want the stadium to be packed. It looks great on national TV, I'll tell you that. It looks great for these people who are over in the Midwest kind of flipping through channels waiting for their team to come on, and they look over and they see 102,000 in Neyland Stadium. It looks great. It does a lot for the program. But there is a reality that sinks in of, it's difficult to do that right now. And we get that. And a lot of people understand that. But ultimately, Brandon's right. You change the product on the field, all of that changes. And sure, maybe the prices go up a little bit, but there are some crazy people over here. There's some crazy people in East Tennessee who are diehard Tennessee Volunteer fans, and they will spend that money for a chance at greatness. I love talking about Nealon. I do. And it's so much fun, but man, I can't wait to see where it goes. Or maybe I can wait a little bit if it doesn't end up the right way. What I can't wait for is the next segment of the show. We got some fun stuff to get into. Also, Chance did put a picture up of Brandon in the old face mode, and Brandon,
I will not look like
is
that.
A wrinkly, wrinkly old guy. It's kind of gross.
He looks like somebody, like an actor. With this, it looks like somebody.
I haven't seen the picture in a couple minutes, but I'm getting some Rob De Niro vibes.
That may be what it is. Looks like the old Rob De Niro.
Rob De Niro. Now he's gonna go look. Now he's going to look right now.
Hey, that's what it is.
All that and more coming up next on the Blitz. AM here on the Blitz. We got you for about 20 more minutes, so do not change that radio dial. Talk Sports coming up next. John, Cody, Cam, Ben, all the above will be hanging out with you for 3 hours after we get done from 12 until 3.
Did you see just some quick notes from... Kay. From around college football, SEC Media Days.
Media Days going on right now. You're talking about Saban?
No. No. What's going on with Saban?
He just had it. It's Saban whining again, as he normally does. No.
What a dweeb.
We can get into it after you. After what you were going to say.
What a dweeb.
So, Jeremy Pruitt, yesterday, still waiting on waivers for D'Angelo Gibbs and Aubrey Solomon. Says that they are just going business as usual. They're not too concerned about it, even though it's been months since they've applied for these waivers. So still waiting to hear from those. Also, talking about Trey Smith, Jeremy Pruitt says Trey Smith wants to play and that UT doctors are working on a plan for that.
That'd That's be big. Good news.
I mean, obviously... You don't want to put the kid in any kind. You don't want to put him in any kind of risky situation, in any kind of danger. But obviously, that's huge if he is able to play. And me, if I had to put money on it, if I had to decide one way or the other, I would say no. I would say no. He probably doesn't play. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does get to play. I hope everything's good. But I mean, if he does, I mean that's. I mean, you had. Yeah, Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy back, and then you add Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris. That could be a pretty strong offensive line. Well, I mean, we'll see.
Who would you rather have go to their respective team between D'Angelo Gibbs, Aubrey Solomon, and Juroš Plavšić? If there was only one, who would you want to see?
Aubrey Solomon.
I totally agree.
Yeah, you want the guy on the front, you know, need that help in the trenches.
Look, I know that basketball is a big deal now, and it will be a big deal. But give me the football guy. Give me the football guy every single day. That is what I want to see. Did you know if you now do the hook 'em horns and you do it upside down, you will be penalized for it? Big 12 cracking down.
I saw that yesterday. I think that's a load of crap. Just like it is for any other team besides Florida to do the Gator Chomp. It's a penalty for that, too. Well, I mean, if it's going to be a penalty to mock it,
it shouldn't
should
it be a penalty
it,
to
it should
do
be
it?
A penalty for the other team to do it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I don't get that.
If you're going to take it away, then just take it away. Like, me changing the angle of my hand should not institute a 15-yard penalty.
I don't get it.
That was one of the weirder things to come out yesterday.
But the NCAA has been like this for a while. They just recently, what, 3 or 4 years ago, like, started loosening up the celebration stuff. I mean, as far as, like, the penalties for that stuff. Like, it's no surprise. It's really been like this forever. It's you know, it's been a league, yeah, entertainment, excitement, value, but at the same time, don't show anybody up. And like you said, that's very stupid. Like, you know, just for doing that, I guess they're saying, well, when you do that, you're basically taunting. But it's been that way, taunting, whatever you have. It's been a no-fun league sometimes, just like the NFL has been. We've seen people lose games for, you know, celebrations that weren't even that bad. And besides, why not let the damn kids celebrate? They work hard. They work hard enough every damn day to be out there. And what they go through as student athletes, we've talked about it before. We know there's an absolute grind that goes with it. And the amount of expectations that we as fans put on them, by God, if they want to celebrate when they do something damn good, why the hell not?
Two things. First off, if you're looking at like a Texas versus OU game, right? First off, these kids are being put in these fierce rivalries because of what the NCAA is doing.
Yes.
The NCAA sets
marketing
up
marketing these rivalries.
Yes, and they can, you know, they're marketing it as the biggest game, one of the hottest rivalries. These two teams hate each other. That's why you have
to
tune
in. Some of these kids have grown up in this rivalry all their lives, where they've been on one side of the rivalry, and like, this is all they've known.
So the corrupt NCAA can make a lot of money off promoting a rivalry, but the players are not allowed to do anything within the rivalry, even though they're being told how fierce of a rivalry this is just simply from the marketing alone. Mm-hmm. But you nailed it when you said, just loosen up, right? Yeah, it's not about taking all the things away.
It's a game.
Look what happened to the NFL when they started allowing end zone celebrations and they started loosening up on those kind of things. It became so much more fun. And there were just small, and it didn't change the game. It didn't make people watch the game more, but it gave you those little tiny minutes of just kind of a little bit of joy watching the TV screen when you saw your team score and, you know, they did a crazy duck, duck, goose, or, you know, bowling pins, right, or something like that. Heck, I remember Kevin Byard running to the 50-yard line on the star and taunting in a Monday Night Football game last year, which I'm pretty sure he was not penalized for it. These are things that make the game more fun. Don't tighten up on all the rules. Just loosen it up. Like, this is a product of your own doing, NCAA. You're promoting these games in such fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous how the NCAA can make money off of a rivalry that the players cannot participate in.
Fully, to an extent. Yeah, no, it's like you say, it's been marketed that way. It'll be marketed that way this year. Just, you know, pay attention to it. Like, we all see at the beginning of the season. You're going to see it in the next couple of weeks when they start marketing some of these. Well, is it Miami and Florida that kick off the season in Orlando? And, I mean, just like you say, the Red River Showdown, all that stuff. So, yeah, it's just another instance of the NCAA, no, don't do that, little slap on the hand. Can't do that. That's stupid.
We missed this yesterday, but we'll make up for it today.
We missed nothing, Brandon.
We did.
We missed nothing.
We did.
Okay, what do we miss?
Jacoby Brissett's tweets.
Oh, I heard this was a big thing I missed.
Love
while
a good Jacoby
away.
Brissett tweet.
So his one from yesterday was, why do we use toothbrushes more than once if they're dirty after the
one
first
use?
Yeah.
Well, because you clean it off. I mean, you don't just scrub your teeth and then throw it back in the toothbrush.
You run over, you put some water on it. Does it really clean off? It's not bowling water.
Fair point. The truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Jacoby.
And then, interesting music choice, Jason. The one from today.
This is a good one.
So, what's on the other side of a black hole?
I feel like Josh Dobbs is going to jump in on that one. I'm waiting for a Dobbs rebuttal.
Jacoby Brissett diving deep.
Asking the questions that need to be answered.
That's right. That's right. They
the
do need to be answered.
That keep
you know what? What is on the other side?
Jacoby Brissett probably definitely would go to Area 51 raid.
Chance? We made a discovery yesterday. Brandon and I made a discovery.
What's that?
that nobody else has seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you see the way he perked up?
Yeah, I remember now.
Chance.
Remember
when we uncovered the secret, and keep the music going.
Yeah.
Remember when we uncovered the secrets behind Stranger Things?
Uh-huh.
Being based here in East Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a lot of good evidence for it. But we found our own evidence that everyone missed yesterday while watching episode 5 or maybe 6. I don't know.
Are you going to tell me? Spoiler alert.
No, this
oh, it's not a spoiler.
Does not spoil the plot
okay.
at all.
Okay, okay.
There is a man while they're at the 4th of July festival.
Okay.
At the carnival.
Yeah.
There's a man that is working. He has a 1982 World's Fair shirt.
What?
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
1982. This whole thing is based in the mid-80s, so you would see why that clothing would still be relevant at the time. He's wearing his Knoxville World's Fair merchandise. You know where he got that? Probably right down the road.
Yep. Some would say probably so.
We're putting it all
together. Starting to put all the pieces together.
I mean, we're finding things.
You can't fool us, Oak Ridge, Hawkins, Oak Ridge National Laboratory.
That's right. That's right.
We're on to you.
I mean, we saw it all yet. We saw the Roane County school bus.
Oh.
We saw everything yesterday. But when that came across our television, we stopped. We rewinded it. Be kind, rewind. We played it again.
You were never even, hold up, Be Kind, Rewind. Were you ever old enough to even ever Be Kind and Rewind to see that sticker? You never saw that in your life, right?
I am old enough to have seen the movie. Have you guys ever seen that movie?
Well, back in my day, they actually used to put these stickers. When I was as a kid, you rent VHS tapes. I know, you used to go rent them from Blockbuster or your local VHS store in your town.
Yeah.
And on the tape, there would be a sticker that would say, please be kind and rewind. Or just say be kind, rewind. It just depended on what they made their sticker. Because it was a very big problem that you get a VHS tape and the person before you did not rewind it.
Have you guys ever seen this movie?
No.
Jack Black, no. Danny Glover.
I've never seen the movie. Is it do they work at a movie store?
It is the worst. Yeah.
Is that what they do? I
basically
figured it had to be that.
I haven't seen this movie in years. I'm pretty sure, Matt, have you seen it? Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. But, like, something happens where all their tapes get just basically fried, and they lose all the videos off the tape. And so Jack Black and Danny Glover from 2008.
Danny Glover?
Yeah.
Like Childish Gambino or Lethal Weapon Danny Glover?
Like Lethal Weapon Danny
okay.
Glover.
Okay, old man Danny Glover.
They have to go back, and the whole movie is just them recreating these movies, and it's just horrible. It's not funny stuff. And it was such a bad movie. And I don't know why I've seen this movie.
What is it rate on the tomato scale, Matt?
See, too high. It's at a solid 65.
What? What?
But it's not good. If you have seen the movie Be Kind Rewind and you love it, please send me a tweet or something.
Call in and tell Rick how much you love the movie.
I just want to know if there are people out there who agree with this 65% because it's not right. It is a 6. Maybe. Maybe. Graciously a 6.5%.
Hopefully our last segment will be a lot higher than a 6 and a 10. Pure gold, as Rick says. Call us up. Last segment coming up, 865-546-8200 on the Next Group Home Hotlines. Coming up next, we've got If You Haven't Heard. Finish the show off. Talk Sports guys are in the building, prime and ready. Listen to the Blitz right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Couple minutes left in the show today. We'll jump to our final segment. If you haven't heard, Alfie Allen has been nominated for an Emmy for his role on Game of Thrones. Now, what you might find interesting is that back in 2006, his sister, Lily Allen, was an aspiring musician. His sister, Lily, came out with a song called Alfie about her brother, and she is just totally ripping him to shreds. One of the lyrics says, "Oh, oh, dearie me, my little brother's in his room smoking. I tell him he should get up because it's nearly 3:30. He can't be bothered because he's high." She came out with this song about Alfie Allen, about how he's just a total bum, not going to do anything for his life. 13 years later, he is nominated for an Emmy for the most popular TV show of all time.
Wow. Looks like she was wrong.
Yeah.
One could say that she was very wrong.
So Who is Alfie?
That's Reek.
Oh, okay, Reek.
Theon. Why is he nominated?
I don't know. Somebody give yours, and I'll look it up.
Also, today, in case you didn't know, World Emoji Day.
Wow.
Apple is also adding new emojis to the collection.
Oh, big.
Yeah, there's going to be pretty much every animal, and there's also going to be more diversity in emojis.
Every animal?
Well, pretty much is what they said. Newest set of emojis will include...
They got an anteater.
There's going to be more skin tones. There's going to be an emoji to symbolize... menstruation?
What? Yes. This is too far.
Whoa.
Wait, whoa.
Does that bother you? Does that bother you?
Why? Why?
Were people asking for it?
Your girlfriend or your wife wants to let you know?
Oh.
It's that time of month.
She wants to send it in and picture chat.
I mean, you can't get freaked out about an emoji, man.
I'm not getting freaked out.
Oh my God, you sent me that emoji with the blood and stuff. Like, oh my God. Wheelchairs, canes, hearing aids, prosthetic limbs, and also sloths. There's also going to be to where you can have interracial couple emojis.
Okay. Good for them. Also, Alfie Allen.
You mean good for them, the emojis, or?
No, well,
I know what you meant, Rick. It's just,
yeah, I was honestly just transitioning into my Emmy nomination list. That was kind of just the first thing that came to mind. Good for the people.
Matt got it. Intern Matt and his bellowing laugh. You guys can hear.
Good for the people who now feel like they are actively
represented.
Yes, there you go.
There you go, Rick. You go. I got you.
I don't know,
buddy.
Why I'm tongue tied.
I got you.
Thank you. Alfie Allen, Gwendolyn Christie, Sophie Turner, Karis Van Houten. Who is that?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know a lot
of
their names.
They are all nominated for Game of Thrones.
I only know like Kit, Sophie.
Who is Karis Van Houten?
I don't know.
Let me find out.
Look it up. Let's see.
Also, it's National Hot Dog Day. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
The red lady.
No.
Who's the red lady?
The lady in Missandei, or not Missandei,
the
Melisandre.
Yeah,
Missandei and
Melisandre,
get those names confused.
Don't know why she didn't do much. That right there.
Also character development on her part.
She had a weird scene.
Yeah.
She had a weird scene. That right there is the Blitz for today. Thanks for hanging out with us. Talk Sports coming up next, so don't go anywhere. Matt, thank you very much. For Chance, for Brandon, for myself, we will see you tomorrow. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.